Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, exploring the issues that impact our community, providing an in-depth analysis of the latest national discussion, and hitting the issues hard in a thoughtful, passionate, and provocative way. We have another great show for thought-provoking show for you this morning. There are upward of 700 children in Mecklenburg County that require foster care and services that accompany the foster care system. A number of foster care and social service agencies in Charlotte and surrounding areas are doing a mighty work in providing the kinds of care and therapeutic environments children in foster care need. One such agency is Carolina Therapeutic Services. This morning, we'll talk with representatives of Carolina Therapeutic Services and a senior social worker of the Mecklenburg County Department of Social Services about their efforts to provide a loving and stable home for children requiring foster care. All coming up here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Joining me this morning is Rebecca Austin, a licensing specialist for Carolina Therapeutic Services. Rebecca has been in the foster care field since 2008, serving in background case management, adoptions, and licensing. Also joining me this morning is Corey Sutton, a PR marketing director for Carolina Therapeutic Services. Mr. Sutton has worked in human services since 2001. Also joining me is Andra Spencer. Ms. Spencer is a senior social worker for Mecklenburg County Department of Social Services. Ms. Spencer has served the children of Mecklenburg County for 20 years and recruits adoptive homes and families for children in the foster care system. Thanks, everyone, for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It is National Foster Care Month. Talk a little bit about the significance of National Foster Care Month. We'll start with you, Corey.
Well, Foster Care Month is geared toward awareness and education of what foster care is and what foster care parenting is. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to do as far as CTS is concerned, is to educate the people out there on exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what about you, Rebecca?
Well, Carolina Therapeutic Services has been dedicated for a while in serving families that need a little help. Mm-hmm. And strengthening our communities through the foster care system. Mm-hmm. We're really excited about making sure people are aware and teaching people in our community what foster care actually is and kind of dispelling some of the myths that go along with it.
We'll talk a little bit about the myths that you're dispelling.
Well, a lot of people are concerned about being a foster parent and what that means for them and the behaviors of the children. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the children have been through a lot.
Yeah.
In their own families and their lifetimes, their short lifetimes, but it's also a very rewarding experience. And working together with these biological families to strengthen them and get them back together is a very rewarding, awesome experience.
Talk a little bit about the people who are opening up their homes and opening up their lives, because I know that there's some transparency required. You have to go through certain background checks and all of those kinds of things. So talk a little bit about that and about the individuals who are willing to open up their homes to foster care children.
I'm in awe of people that are willing to open up their homes to foster care children. You're opening up your homes to many people mm-hmm. in your life, and definitely transparency. We require at Carolina Therapeutic Services a high school degree, and then you have 30 hours of training, mm-hmm. basic training that you do, and then if you become a therapeutic foster parent, it's an additional 10 hours of training. And during that time, we're in your home, we're working with your family, we're learning your strengths and your needs to see what's the best fit for you mm-hmm. and what child will work in your family, because it's important to make a good fit so that this is a long-term placement, because these kids have been through so many transitions already
yeah.
that we want to really strengthen them and be able to work together with each other. And these families are really advocates for these children and
yeah.
helping these children, and work with us to work through some of the behaviors, to teach them the skills to be able to continue and have successful lives.
And talk a little bit about some of the challenges your agency faces in matching up children with families.
We work really hard to match children with families, keep kids in the community, mm-hmm. in their home communities, because it's very important to keep kids connected
yeah.
with their lives. Sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes we don't have families in the same communities and they have to come out of the communities.
Mm-hmm.
So we work really well, and we train a lot on cultural competencies to make sure that people understand a diverse amount of information about cultural backgrounds and be able to help these children stay, understand, even if they are of different ethnicity, that they still understand and they're still staying close with that.
Sure. And in terms of evaluating a children's concerns about a particular family or home that they might be going into, how much weight is given to what they have concerns about?
Oh, we definitely listen to the children. This is about the children. And mm-hmm. we do meetings once a month, child and family team meetings. And it's about the child. It's about their strengths. We try to keep it really positive and what they building on their strengths. So if a child, and a child has their social worker as their advocate, they have their care coordinator as their advocate, they have their foster parent, they have their parents, and we need to listen to what they need
mm-hmm.
because children know what they need and they have their own wonderful personalities and they understand where they fit too. It's important that they feel comfortable and safe where they are.
Sure. Now, Andre, you work closely with Carolina Therapeutic Services. Talk a little bit about how you are able to assist Carolina Therapeutic Services with their needs and with the needs of the children that they're serving.
I think the answer to that is really they assist us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. All right.
In Mecklenburg County, any given day, we have 700 children in foster care.
Wow.
And while we have foster parents, we don't have enough foster parents to place and meet the need of every child.
Mm-hmm.
And so we contract with several different agencies, including Carolina Therapeutic Services, who can provide homes that are more therapeutically based for children who have more needs,
mm-hmm.
and also regular foster care for children who have needs, so that we have an array of people that we can choose from in terms of making that good match
mm-hmm.
that Rebecca was talking about.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of the resources available to the county to place children, talk a little bit about what goes into that decision about how much resources to dedicate to all of this.
We actually have a whole unit that's called licensing and placement,
mm-hmm.
and they look at every request that comes in. Now, sometimes a request comes in and we need a bed today, and that's their job to
yeah.
look at it. But they look at all of our contract agencies and what they have available and what this child's needs are based on the information they were given and try to make the best match possible.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't do this successfully without our partners.
Yeah. And talk a little bit about the children involved here. What are they going through? How are they coping with the idea that they are in need of placement?
Struggles many times.
Bring the microphone closer to you.
These children oftentimes don't know until the last second. They can be picked up on an investigator goes out, they get picked up, they assess that this is not a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
So these children are taken away from their families and what they know and what is normal to them, because many times, even if children are going through a great deal, we have to understand as people that that is what they know and that's what's normal to them. So they're losing that. They're going into a home. And like she said, a lot of times it's we need a placement immediately. So
mm-hmm.
they're going into a home and they don't know these people and it's a different environment. It's possibly a different cultural situation. They're going into a new school oftentimes. And then there's trauma involved with that
yeah.
that we have to be aware of. We have to work with these kids to really help them and really find their strengths and their resiliency to be able to handle that. And a lot of it is North Carolina is a shared parenting state,
mm-hmm.
and we work really hard to work, the foster parents work with the families, so the kids don't feel like they're completely disconnected
yeah.
from their family, because we really want to get them back together and make that a good workable situation,
mm-hmm.
and that helps kids a lot when foster parents can be really positive and just step back for a second and try to see it through a child's eyes and what they're going through and how kind of scary it is.
So yeah.
they have their blankie that smells and is ratty and torn up. It's that smell can keep them going.
Right.
So allowing them to have that, allowing it to be a mess it's one of those small things that means so much.
Right. And Corey, in terms of the crisis situations that lead to a child having to utilize your services, talk a little bit about that.
Well, as far as the crises goes, we have trained professionals We have ongoing staff where you can definitely be assisted by our staff, our professional, through crisis support lines, crisis calls 24/7 a day. I mean, there's no time that we can't be contacted. One of our supervisors can't be reached, you know, at the drop of a dime.
Now, in terms of the foster care system itself, I know it is fraught with a bevy of situations that are unsavory for children. And we've heard, you know, throughout the country, there were problems with foster care parents. And some certain situations happen where children are exploited. What do you do to ferret out individuals who may not be fit for that kind of system?
Well, I work in licensing, so I train. And during that training process, we get to know these people. We go in their homes. We talk about, we look at flags. Mm-hmm. We talk about what's going on. We really need to know these people, their families. And you spoke about the transparency earlier. It's extremely important. And then we have our care coordinators that are in their home once a week, visiting this home, visiting these children. We visit these children in the schools. We make sure that there's someplace, any concerns, that there's ability for anybody to bring up concerns without being nervous, without being scared. That way we don't have those issues.
Now, are these scheduled visits or a surprise?
I've, as a care coordinator, been into schools to see the kids when they didn't know I was going to be there, like hanging out, what's going on, how you doing? Or, and some of them are scheduled visits in the home and some of them are not. And we can, I know that any of the families that I work with, I can go see them at any point. Now, you know, they might be running. Everybody's running here, there, and everywhere. But we can really have that transparency and make them feel comfortable being able to call us and be honest with us about concerns. So if they say, I really thought I could handle a baby, but it's not, my life is better suited because I run a lot for an older child, then we work with that. We need to, you need to know these people and be there.
Andra, from the county perspective, what are the guidelines that helps assist their agency to better serve their children?
And I guess it's more of a state guideline than a county guideline, and so we all adhere to that. So people have to pass a background check, and they have to be fingerprinted. They have to have medical approval. They can't have something that is so drastic that it prohibits them from parenting medically. So there are some state standards that have to be met in order to be a foster or adoptive parent.
Now, what I'm interested in is why you folks chose this particular profession. What guided you into this?
Well, for myself, growing up in Chicago in the 70s and 80s, it was real tough for my mother, who was a single mother. And she was very, very loving, and she was protective, and she actually had became a foster parent. So I grew up with foster kids, foster brothers, foster sisters. They've been around me all my life. And to look outside of my home and see some of the other kids that weren't as fortunate as I was. There are a lot of my friends coming up that I lost when I was 14 and 15, and just lost to the, you know, to the horrors of the city. So when I left Chicago and seeing my mom and how she nurtured myself and the foster kids, and then looking at those that didn't make it, my friends and things like that, I just wanted to be a strong presence in that field for those kids. That was my story.
Rebecca?
Well, I grew up pretty hard, and I was that teenager that I think everybody thought they had lost, and had children young, and just have went through my own struggles. But I've always been very outgoing, I think I've known I was going to do this my whole life. I enjoy working with teenagers a lot because they tend to get forgotten, or if they're on the wrong path, people tend to set them to the side and they become the statistic. And from doing it on my own since I was about 16 years old and raising myself my own a great deal of my life, I understand that with the right guidance, with the right person, you can change it. You can turn it around. It's so important to pull the strengths, to see the strengths. You have to see the good, even when it's difficult. You have to see the good in people because it's always there. And as almost finished with my master's degree. It's
praise God.
It's a testament
yeah.
to the fact that you can do it.
Amen.
Anybody can do it.
Absolutely.
It's not where you come from. It's where you're going.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Andre, what was that spark, that moment? I need to do this.
Honestly, my story isn't as elaborate as theirs. I just want to be honest here. Out of college, I took a job at a therapeutic wilderness camp and absolutely loved it. I'm an outdoors type of person, so mm-hmm. I enjoyed doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And along my journey, I ended up at DSS. And about 12 years ago, I came into the adoption arena.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like I was in the right shoes. And I think my motivation is every day, okay, I got to get this one a home. Okay, tomorrow I got to get this one a home. And so it's this kid and the next kid. And in the meantime, another kid comes on the caseload.
So yeah.
That's what motivates me, is that no child should grow up in foster care.
Yeah. Now, how many children is Carolina Therapeutic Services serving at this point?
We have about 105 kids in care at this point right now. And we have 140 beds right
mm-hmm.
now
mm-hmm.
at foster parents that we can serve children with. So we're always looking, and we hate it when we get that call and we can't serve the child.
Yeah.
So we really need the wonderful parents and the people who really have a passion that love kids to step forward and give back, because it's our community. It's helping your community grow stronger.
Now, there are bound to be situations where a foster parent has to relinquish care. Talk a little bit about that experience, the trauma that actually is tethered to that experience.
Every transition for a child causes more trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. So we really, really work hard to... It's about making that first initial connection and really knowing our placement coordinator really knows personally every family that we have, so we can make the best placement possible so they're not having to relinquish, because it does.
Yeah.
It definitely sets children back and their goals back and their emotional state when they have to move again, because many times, especially when they're young, they don't understand.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it does happen. Sometimes we have children that need a higher level of care or are ready to step down. And that's a process. It's a process. It's a grieving process, I think, for everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's important to have the training and the support you need in that.
Now, talk a little bit about the numbers. And any one of you can answer this. The numbers, number of children that actually comes from correctional facilities or group homes.
We take them down from PRTFs, which is a level 4 lockdown
residential
facility.
Treatment.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
we do have some group homes in the community, but... obviously, it's ideal for a child to be in a family setting.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier, Rebecca, about children holding on to blankets. Talk a little bit about the therapeutic services that you provide. What specifically is the therapeutic service?
Working with goals, working with behaviors. We mm-hmm. work closely with the therapist. We work closely with psychiatrists to really look at what their diagnosis be. Mm-hmm. Some of them have obsessive compulsive disorder. Many children have post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And we really work to train parents on what these mental health diagnoses are so that they can work with these. Because, say, a child has ADHD, you need to understand that sometimes that child can focus for 10 minutes and needs a break.
Yeah.
And it really helps. And it really helps to not have to not over-medicate them when parents really understand what these simple techniques that we're working with that can really help them so much in being able to function on a daily basis, because everything kind of goes together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they need extra reading skills. Sometimes they need, you know, and a lot of times, like with PTSD, they need a safe place. They need to build that therapeutic rapport, as they would with their therapist, with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So a parent really has to understand that they're going to have to work through and understand that things are going to happen, especially in the beginning. Kids are angry, they're upset, they don't understand, and it comes out as strong behaviors, and they push against because they've lost that stronghold that they have. They push against and they're scared to trust anybody else again.
Yeah.
So that's that therapeutic piece, really having parents understand what these things are so that they can really work with it. So these children, because these children are also working on their goals while their parents are working parents are working with DSS on a case plan. Mm-hmm. We're working with these children, so everybody is ready to come back together again strong. Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the metrics to determine when a child is actually ready to be placed in a home?
A lot of times we look at, it's ongoing, it's when the parents are ready. Mm-hmm. And then when the parents are ready, we look at how are they doing? Are they being able to handle school? Are they being able to handle things going on in the home? How have they done in therapy? What's the process? The whole team gets together every month. So it's therapists, psychiatrists, it's care coordinator, if it's a juvenile counselor, if they're on probation, it's everybody involved, so we can all talk about what's going on and make the best assessment.
It seems to me that there is a sturdy apparatus available for all of these children to be successful, but obviously there are some instances where there isn't success. Talk about those particular moments.
Struggle. Yeah. It's a struggle. I've invested much time in children, but it's the bottom line is, especially with older children, but anybody, people have to be ready. They have to be ready and willing. It can work with people as much as you want, and we have a huge team working with people, but people have to be willing to change. Change is hard.
Mm-hmm. Andre, you mentioned 700 children. What is the feeling that goes through your mind when that child is placed and there is a successful placement?
I call it a moment of grace.
Amen. Amen. You have a conference coming up. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, we're having our second annual state adoption conference. Mm-hmm. And that conference, we had it last year, and it was very successful, and we are so looking forward to this year. It's an opportunity for us to educate professionals and foster parents and adoptive parents about key issues with adoptions, about transracial adoptions, about issues like community partners, working with churches, and things of those nature. And so that conference is actually going to be on May the 2nd, mm-hmm. and it'll be from 9 to 4, and it is at Friendship Baptist Church on Bates Ford Road.
Okay.
We are also doing, with Carolina Therapeutic Services, we hope to be involved with Charlotte Mecklenburg DSS. We are also doing on May the 10th, mm-hmm. in Gastonia at 1528 Union Road. We're doing a foster parent appreciation fun day. Radio station's coming out. I think they're giving away some tickets, and we're just going to celebrate all the success and all the, we hear so much about the negative.
Yeah.
We want to celebrate the success and discuss what we're about and get the community out. We're going to do stuff for kids. We're doing inflatables, cookout, and just kind of give some information and give back to our community.
Now, Andra, you open up the door for a controversial question, and I certainly love asking controversial questions. Now, when you mentioned transracial, as you might be aware, Golden Grahams Crackers is facing a backlash for presenting a family with a gay couple in a television commercial. They are rigorously responding to the hate mail that they've been receiving. Quaker Oats, as you might know, they were facing a similar controversy with their Cheerios ad when they featured a mixed race family. Now, the question is, are gay couples and mixed race families in the pool of potential foster care parents? And are you open to gay couples bringing folks into their homes?
Yes, we are open. What we found is, I don't look at your race or your ethnicity or your sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. I'm looking, can you serve this child?
Right.
And so I've done adoptions over the years where a white child was adopted into a black family, mm-hmm. and a black child was adopted into a white family, and a child was adopted into a same-sex family. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is that the child is loved, and the child is safe now, and the child doesn't have to worry about moving anymore,
yeah.
that they're at home. And that's more important than all of those other things.
Amen. God, I like that. You wanted to add, Rebecca?
We actually have a same-sex couple adopting right now. We mm-hmm. have several, and I fully agree. It's about the child, and love is not a color.
Amen. that's good. Talk a little bit about the referral process. What goes into that whole? I know that has to be a daunting task, having going through one piece of paperwork to the other. Talk a little bit about that process.
As far as foster parents or children or both?
Both. Both.
Well, we work a lot in the community to get the word out there, and word of mouth is the best for referrals. And we have a informational meeting every Monday at 12, and we sit down with the foster parents and we get some information about them and how they're doing. As far as the children or referrals, they come in from many different sources. We have private placements from parents that say, hey, we need some help while we get on our feet. We have placements from DSS. We will have DJJ, which Department of Juvenile Justice, call us and say, hey, we need to get this kid we need help with. And we'll really speak with them, get as much information as we can about the child. Mm-hmm. And then we'll look, identify a family, help them get as much information because that's important, and make a good placement.
Yeah. We have just about 2 minutes left in this show. Talk again about the qualifications for individuals who might be seeking to be foster care parents.
Okay, you must be 21 years of age. You have to have a high school diploma or GED. You have to complete 30 hours of training to be a foster parent, and then as a therapeutic foster parent, 10 more hours of training that we do in classes. You also have to have a complete CPR, first aid, medication administration to be able to do the follow state guidelines, mm-hmm. a valid driver's license, stable income to sustain your livelihood, and approval from your doctor, a clean background check, no felonies, no child abuse charges, anything like that were very important. Yeah. And then you have to be able to attend the school meetings, doctor's appointments, extracurricular activities for these children for them to thrive in their community.
Yeah, yeah. And that is a must, because when children are failing in school and they don't see a parent that's actually interested, they'll have an even tougher time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Parent involvement is huge in school.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I wanted to say this. I wanted to speak about when you asked the question about successes in children or foster kids. And I have a couple of them, and I'm not sure if you even knew that they were foster children before. There's Bill Clinton.
Didn't know that.
He was a foster child. How about Dave Thomas of Wendy's?
No.
Nelson Mandela.
Now you're getting into history, and I should know my history.
Yeah. How about this one? Jamie Foxx.
Didn't know he was a foster child. Wow.
Let's go way, way back. Edgar Allan Poe.
Wow. Wow.
He was a foster child. Steve Jobs. And there's many, many more. So these are success stories. If we take the village concept, where that's what it takes to raise these children and get them on track and love them and all of those types of things, they can be anything.
Absolutely.
They can be anybody. They can go anywhere.
I agree. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning to talk about this. It is actually a blessing to see the kinds of dedication that you're committed to. It's wonderful to see this. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to again thank Rebecca Austin, Corey Sutton, and Andra Spencer for sharing information about both Carolina Therapeutic Services and Mecklenburg County Department of Social Services. They are doing a great work in our city, county, and state. If you would like more information about Carolina Therapeutic Services, please log on to their website, www.carolinatherapeuticservices.com. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. This show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.